Hello, everybody, and welcome to There's Always Next Year. It is Thursday, November 20th, 2014. We are here in a winter wonderland, even though winter doesn't start for another month. My name is Dave. I am joined by my co-host, Joe Babb.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
How's it going, Joe?
I'm doing fantastic, other than that miserable drive getting over here.
Yeah, are you enjoying the weather? Are you a fan of snow?
Yeah, the Four Seasons has kind of lost its luster, but at least it's not like, you know, 100 every day.
Let's just have one season where it's like 75 degrees every day. How about that?
San Diego, from what I'm told.
Can we manufacture climate change to do that?
I think with global warming, there's a lot of climate change, but not necessarily what we're going for.
We're also joined by executive producer John, running the computer.
What's happening, Dave?
Like a champion. How are you liking this weather?
Do you enjoy
the snow? There are people who enjoy it.
I love the fact that I need to buy tires, and I was just kind of spinning around.
That's always fun.
It was a great time.
You're like, hey, am I going to spin 360 degrees on my way home today? Let's hope not, but maybe.
So I think I might make a run to somewhere tomorrow, Saturday, to get some nice tires.
That's probably a good idea. I don't think it's supposed to warm up a little over the weekend, then get cold again. I think we've hit winter already.
The Bills sure would say yes.
Yeah, 6 feet of snow.
They're playing their game in the in Detroit this weekend.
I knew they were moving it. I didn't know where they were moving it to. They're playing in a dome. That's good news for me because I need to run out Kyle Orton for my fantasy team this week.
Oh boy.
Carson Palmer broke his knee.
There was really no one else on the waiver wire?
No, because we play two quarterbacks.
Oh.
So last week, Romo was on bye and Palmer was hurt, so I picked up Kyle Orton and Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes.
I still won, though. Not because of them.
I sure didn't.
No, John Seam stinks.
Oh, wow. 60 points in our league? Holy cow.
Yeah, it was not a prime showing.
That like hurt my heart.
Okay. So, speaking of football,
wait one sec. Before we get into this, I gotta ask Joe. Last time, how did you not bring up winnings in sports?
Oh yeah,
I couldn't believe it after the show.
Yeah, you could have done it library.
So I mean, I don't encourage any clandestine, you know, gambling activities. Although FanDuel.com is legal, and there are those sites are popping up periodically.
They advertise everything.
Some other things, but yeah, no. I deposited a little money into FanDuel.com, and $100 turned into $7,500 within my first night of playing. So it was a good little thing. Paid off some credit card debt. I treated myself to something nice, and it was good.
I got a question for
you.
Did you go Scrooge McDuck? Did you like get some change, swim around in it for a little bit?
No, I did not. I did not pull like an Eric Cartman and put like a bunch of coins or a bunch of dollars in a inflatable pool. I always wondered how Scrooge McDuck didn't like break his neck diving into all that change, but. Yeah,
even if you did break through it, I feel like you would just drown. Well, I don't know if it technically
you would just drown. The weight would just
you wouldn't be able to climb your way back out. If you started sinking, that was it.
I really missed that era of Disney Channel shows though, like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Tailspin,
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah,
I don't know. Looking back on it, I don't think they were really that good.
DuckTales was probably my favorite.
DuckTales was okay. Darkwing Duck was okay, and then. Like, Tailspin, no. Chip and Dale, whatever. It was okay, I guess.
Were there any other ones? No, I guess that was it.
There was other ones, I'm sure. I don't know what they were. I can't think of them. Like, they had...
Looney Tunes?
I think they had, a Jungle Book cartoon.
Well, wasn't the Jungle Book...
Gummy Bears?
Was like Tailspin, because Baloo was, like, the pilot guy or whatever.
Like,
I don't know how they came up with this, like, storyline. Like, how does some bear who scratches his back on trees in a movie turn into some pilot in a TV show? I just would love to meet the producers over at the Disney Channel in the early 90s.
Yeah, man. All those, well, think of all the shows we watched when we were kids. I mean, like Ninja Turtles and what else was messed up? He-Man. Like, who thought of these things? I know, like, Ninja Turtles was a comic book first, but who thought of the comic book?
Yeah.
I've got this great idea, guys.
The Thundercats?
Yeah.
Thundercats, yeah.
Well, the Thundercats were basically just people with, like, cat faces.
Yeah.
It was like the...
Snarf.
It was like... except for Snarf.
Snarf, Snarf.
And then they always had to have, like, the girl equivalent for shows. Like, He-Man had She-Ra, and then...
Yeah.
They had, I mean, and it goes back to, like, Wonder Woman, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, this is great.
So this is like a sports show. Remember, like, Space Jam? They just had that, like, girl bunny
yeah.
to, like, counter bugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because why not? The Space Jam, let me say, and I don't know if I've said this on the show. I probably have. I find Space Jam to be highly overrated. It's not good.
Oh, Newman's in it.
Yeah, I like how it's got, like, Bill Murray and Newman.
Yeah, Bill Murray and Newman are the best parts of that movie.
I think it's funny how the Monstars try to steal Sean Bradley's
skills.
Yeah,
I was just going to say.
When Sean Bradley has no skills.
Hey, we stole Sean Bradley's skill. Being tall. Technically not really a skill. I feel like you could have probably done that on your own.
I think it would have been funny if the Monstar just got worse every day. Like, at first he could make baskets, and then he got Sean Bradley's skill and just started bricking things.
He gets really tall and lanky and just starts tripping over his own feet. Oh, man. We picked the wrong one. Why didn't you steal Hakeem Olajuwon's talent?
I wish LeBron would do, like,
and
a spaceman, too.
Grandmama. Grandmama was in that.
Was he real? Oh, yeah.
He was one of the people got stolen.
Yeah, it was Muggsy Bogues. Again, Muggsy Bogues.
Grandmama.
Come on. There was better point guards. At least, you know, you could get John Stockton.
Ah, that would be a bummer,
distributor.
Though. Yeah, okay.
LeBron would be cool in a Space Jam, too.
There was rumors of it a couple years ago, or maybe even just a year ago at this point, but I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. We have to settle for his Survivor's Remorse show on the Showtime Network, which I don't watch.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like supposed to be like an Entourage, only it's with like a young urban like teen who becomes a basketball superstar. And it's about his posse.
I wonder who it's based on.
But yeah. So, yeah. Apparently it's not, I don't know. I haven't heard any reviews, to be quite honest.
Is Mark Wahlberg producing?
No, LeBron is.
LeBron's producing.
Okay.
LeBron and Maverick Carter and that
LeBron,
whole crew.
LeBron's going to be a media mogul. I wonder if he'll end up owning a team. It won't
like
be the
Kevin
Cavs.
Garnett?
Yeah, Garnett wants to buy the Timberwolves.
Did you see that, Joe?
Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to bet Timberwolves.
That'd be really cool.
You know, so we've got Jordan owns Charlotte. Yeah. If Garnett owns the Timberwolves, you know, these guys are starting to make a lot of money. LeBron will be able to buy a team when he retires if he feels like it. There's going to be, you know, like Kevin Durant could do it.
Maybe
Kobe
Vince Carter will buy the Raptors. I saw Vince Carter shed a tear the other night when Toronto did a tribute to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess he left on not the best terms.
Right.
But it all gets emotional in the end, like Jim Tomey's statue.
But what do you think would happen if even like 40% of the league became like ex-player owned? You know, because the owners and the players right now just are constantly battling. The owners are saying that the players don't deserve as much money as they get, and the players are saying that they do.
But how many?
What happens when the players start taking over? Are they going to become what the owners are now and be like, I don't want to pay those guys that much?
Yeah,
they're
I'm sure
they
are. I mean, both sides are selfish. I mean, human beings are inherently selfish. So, I mean, I think both sides are going to have their own interests.
Right, but the current players will be able to go back and look at what Garnett or LeBron said during like these negotiations with the owners would be like, look what you said when you were a player.
And then
like, now you're doing the same thing to us.
Yeah. I mean, that like happens every day in like the House of Representatives and Senate and all that stuff.
Yeah, but we're talking about basketball, Joe. This is an honest,
I mean, I don't think, are any, how many of these guys aside from like LeBron are actually going to be rich enough to buy a team? I mean, that costs.
Well,
like,
if
billions.
Nothing else, they'll be able to, like Michael Jordan doesn't own Charlotte by himself.
He's just like a majority.
He owns a majority stake in the team.
Yeah.
You know.
It could happen.
Shaq owns part of the Kings.
Yeah.
He's not the majority owner, but he owns part of it.
I don't know. I mean, if I went in on a team that was like gonna like buy a franchise, like I think I would like know from the start that like Michael Jordan making the decisions would be a bad choice.
Hey, Charlotte's gotten a lot better the last couple of years.
Yeah, good point. But I mean, I would know, like, just because a guy's a former player doesn't mean I would rather have like a coach like picking my players than a former player.
Well, the owner doesn't have to pick the players. That's what you have general managers and coaches for.
Oh yeah, but Michael Jordan's
is the general manager too. So yeah, I know what you're saying there. But and he's generally been pretty bad at it. But I guess has lucked his way into some success here by signing Al Jefferson and drafting Kemba Walker.
John's looking at the estimated amount of money Michael Jordan has lost gambling.
They have no idea.
Antoine Walker.
Tuan.
Force him out for Tuan.
If the Cavs didn't have so many Antoine Walkers on the team already, I would be petitioning them to sign Antoine Walker.
Oh my God.
But
that'd be
they crazy. Already have enough guys that all they do is stand around and miss threes. All right. Well, then I guess we'll get into the Cavs since we went into basketball.
That seems like a natural progression.
And then we'll talk football and make our picks and whatnot.
Good game plan.
Good.
You should be the coach of the Browns.
Yeah, just don't interrupt me like halfway through or I'll have no idea what to do. Cavs have been inconsistent at best so far. They played the Spurs last night. I watched pretty much the whole game. They lost by two. It was close throughout. Neither team really looked to be playing well, though. I don't know if you want to credit that to defense or if you just say they both weren't playing well. You know, there was a lot of unforced errors in that game. Just turnovers, you know, offensive fouls, some flopping.
Do you see Manu? That one flop he had, it was in the corner with like the shot clock running down.
Yeah.
And he just kind of got near Manu and he like dropped to the ground, threw the ball out and start yelling at the ref. I'm like, God, I love this guy. He just is all hero all the time.
And then, you know, the Cavs have a shot to win it at the end or tie it. They're down by two and LeBron dribbles the ball off his foot, does his Kyrie Irving impression.
Did you see the court like from the view? He had a wide open, like, path to the lane if he would have, like, got through that.
Well, yeah, but in his defense, he's trying to dribble through, two guys, and he's rushing because there's not much time left. I completely understand that it happens. But what's odd is, he just kind of, like, he's like, yep, that was my fault. Big deal. He just kind of brushes it off, where I feel like if it was someone else on the team, he would have just stood there and stared him down.
Yeah, it's a double standard, but no, I mean, I just think the Cavs' lack of success. I don't know. I mean, LeBron looks kind of disinterested to me, which, I mean, it's a long season. I'd kind of be disinterested, like, with an 82-game season, too.
Yeah, but they should become disinterested once they're beating the crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
They should be trying really hard right now.
To get where they need to be.
Yeah.
But maybe they're trying to peak at the right time. If you peak too early, you know? It's like the old horse race. You never want the horse that leads in the beginning.
I know. Except, I mean,
Jason Kidd's Milwaukee Bucks are 7-5.
Who saw that coming?
Not me.
But the Cavs, they score a lot of points, but they also give up a lot of points.
I agree.
To not beat a dead horse, but I've been saying this all along. They're not going to play defense. They don't have the personnel to do it. Like, there's a difference between trying harder. Like, I don't doubt that, you know, Irving and Waiters, maybe Kevin Love, are trying harder to play defense than they have in the past, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be good at it.
Yeah, no, I sort of like noticed that too. Like, Kyrie was playing really hard on defense, but he was still just horrible. So, yeah, no, it's, I think we just need to get some more defensive presences in here. They're just not going to, they're just bad at defense. I think, like, I don't know. I mean, it might just be trading like Dion, because, I mean, I think you just got too many guys who all they do is like score and.
I know, but I love Dion.
Yeah.
This is the pro Dion Waiters show in Cleveland. We're like the only one.
Theme song. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, he's cool. He always tweets at like 3 a.m. like saying he can't sleep. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, and LeBron tweets at 5 a.m. He's like, oh, I'm up with my newborn. And everybody's like, wow, what a great dad. And I'm like, wow, what an irresponsible player. he has unlimited funds, and he could, like, sleep.
Yeah, LeBron could probably afford a nanny.
He's got a game to play that night. His newborn isn't going to remember that he was holding her at 5 o'clock in the morning on some random Tuesday night.
Is that? Oh, that's not the real. John pulled up Dion Waiters on Twitter. It's not the real one. He doesn't
have.
He doesn't have the blue check, but he had a picture of Derrick Rose as his avatar. I was just like, wow, Dion really paying homage to D Rose. But
Dion Waiters news. Wow, there's a Dion Waiters news Twitter page.
I don't see any Dions with a check. I follow Dion.
Yeah, so do
He's
I.
on there somewhere.
I'll find.
He's.
So, you think Dion's going to get traded? I feel like that's probably...
I think
our most tradable asset.
It's inevitable. Yeah, he's the most tradable asset. He's the guy who's most likely to get disgruntled from not playing.
Who do you target? Are you looking for a big? Are you looking for a wing defender?
I think I'm just looking for defensive players, period. I mean, obviously, it'd be nice to have a big to clog up the middle. And block shots, but just anybody to like help us get better at defense.
Right.
I'm all for.
You know, there's talks that the Cavs are trying to trade. You know, they're in discussions with Minnesota for Corey Brewer, who's that's what he is. He's kind of just a wing defender. He can hit some threes every once in a while.
That original Kevin Love trade was kind of like I felt like they should have just thrown him in for like to be nice like in that trade. You know, it's like we gave up enough for God's sake. Like just give us Corey Brewer.
Can't you just give us Corey Brewer? Come on. You're not giving up Waiters for Corey Brewer, and they don't want Waiters.
No, I think
they want picks.
They want picks. Yeah, and it's between us and the Rockets.
Right.
And picks.
So even if you trade for Corey Brewer, you still have Waiters there to trade for a big guy.
Yeah. Somehow I want to use our exception and our picks and Waiters, and I want to go big and get somebody who's like Roy Hibbert or somebody.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't need another star. We don't need another guy who needs the ball or even wants the ball. we need like a good version of Samuel Dalembert.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is because Samuel Dalembert isn't that good. But
back in the day, Dennis Rodman would be awesome for this team.
Well, yeah, he would, except he doesn't play anymore, so we can't have Dennis Rodman.
I get you.
I wonder,
Phillies, anyone from the Bad Boys front court would work great on this team.
Obviously, you would think nobody from the Philadelphia 76ers would help us, but I wonder if we could get, like, either Nerlens or,
Could we get, Henry Sims back?
Oh, yeah, I guess we could get Henry.
We traded him over there last year.
Just send Dion for a homecoming? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a thing the other night that, Tim Duncan has more NBA experience than the Philadelphia 76ers active roster.
Oh, that's awesome.
Combined.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Tony Roten's been balling out this year. We're looking at the Sixers
roster.
Somebody
has to score points.
Yeah, that's the old adage. Somebody has to score points.
Yeah, they're averaging losing by 17 points a game.
That is a horrible team.
They're a bad team.
Yeah. Now, and this is a good segue into something that we were requested to talk about. How we feel about teams like the 76ers, and they're really one of the first to just come right out and they're like, listen, we're going to suck really bad for a couple years here. You know, how do you feel about
what's Embiid is
tanking?
Out? How Embiid's out for the whole season?
Most likely the whole season.
Yeah. That was a good move. You get Noel, you get him. Yeah, I mean, I like the tank idea. And then they were talking about changing the draft lottery system in Philadelphia. It was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
But I mean, yeah, it was funny because that went up to a vote and it needed like 13 votes or something to pass, or it needed 13 votes to get voted down. And they only had like, there was only six or seven teams confirmed that they were going to vote against it. They were like, no. We're not going to vote. We don't want this. And they were going, oh, so it looks like, you know, this might pass. It got 23 votes. Like 23 teams voted it down.
You just know, if Philadelphia does get the all-time loss record, I know they're not going to get the number one pick. I mean, it's just, I think it's just karma. They won't.
But even if they do, I mean, do they really?
Who's the best?
Are they going anywhere within 5 years?
Yeah, but I mean, what else do you want them to do? Just like stay in no man's land and become like the, I don't know.
Well, I get tanking from a strategic standpoint. You know, hey, we're not going anywhere. We might as well lose. Especially in a sport like football, where it is all record based.
Yeah.
If you're a team that's like 4-8, why would you win for the rest of the season? What's the point of winning? Hey, guys, we won six games, and now we're picking five slots lower every round of the draft.
That's why all the Browns seasons have been so miserable for years, because it's always 3-9.
Yeah, but I don't think the Browns ever purposely tanked. I think they were just bad.
Oh, yeah, but this is, the game sucks, because you would, like, at the end of the season, you'd be watching the games and be like, well, it'd be better for us if we lost, but
yeah.
I'm a Browns fan.
The year that the Cavs quote unquote tanked to get LeBron, I remember being at the last game of the season, and they were, I guess, half a game up for the worst record. Like they were one victory lower than the Nuggets for the worst record, and they won the game. The Cavs won the game, and I remember people in the stands being like, this team is so bad they can't even lose right.
Yeah.
Why would you win this game?
But it worked out. Still no championships, though.
No. But,
with the Sixers...
Should there be some kind of penalty for doing this, though? I mean, get doing it, but it kind of screws over your fans.
Yeah, I kind of wish that, like, teams were encouraged. They found some way to incentivize. Like, you should be encouraged to try to win as many games as possible.
What would be cool, and I mean, we don't have enough teams to do it. You'd have to contract the NBA or whatever sport it was down. You know, you'd have to get maybe a third of the teams out of it, which I think would actually make them better.
It would make the league a lot better.
Yeah, but do it like in Europe. You know, Europe has an A league and a B league. And every year, at the end of the season, the bottom two teams from the A League get moved down to the B League, and the top two teams from the B League get moved up. So there's incentive not to tank.
Great call.
If you tank, you're not even in the league. You get kicked out of the league.
Although, but you could tank, and then you'd just be like, well, I want to like have some sort of joy. Let's just be the best team in the B League.
But then you'll get moved back up the next season. You only get 1 year of glory. And then you're back to being terrible again.
Yeah, good point. I like that idea, but that's a good thought. I don't really like the fact that you can tank, but I really get it with the Sixers, because I mean they're stashing Embiid away. I mean, that guy, if he gets healthy, that guy could be a star.
Yeah, but
they
what are the odds
good
that,
really fast.
That he doesn't have injury problems for his entire career?
I mean, they're not very good, but I mean, let's pick another team that's not like in like last place. Like, let's look at Charlotte. No, wait, no, not Charlotte. Let's look at, I guess all those teams have a little bit of, like, glimmer of hope. Well, I mean, look at, like, Boston. They're, like, 4-6, but, like, where are they really going?
Right. But they don't have a ton of, I don't think they have a ton of salary really invested in anybody either.
Yeah, I guess their roster's kind of fluid. I mean, I guess there's no LeBron James in this upcoming draft. They're going to draft like Jahlil Okafor or somebody who I don't know how good they're going to be.
Right.
But, yeah, I get it. But if Noel starts playing, I think the Sixers could get really good really fast if Embiid actually is healthy and.
Well, and they got that, I can't think of his
Michael
name
Carter
for some
Williams.
Reason. They traded for that European guy in the draft too. Who's not?
Oh yeah, and they're starting to stockpile guys overseas. Yeah, I mean, I think the Sixers are doing. If you look at like Brooklyn, like the Nets, like where are they? They traded all their draft picks away.
Well, yeah, they screwed up big time. They went for it.
Yeah,
they went for their like one big
or the perfect example is the Knicks. Like, where the hell are the Knicks heading? They're trying to win games.
Yeah, but the Knicks have been a mess for a decade.
Yeah,
more than a decade. They just keep screwing things up, and now they think, oh well, we've got Phil Jackson here; he'll fix everything. Well, you can't if you burn a house down to ashes, you can't rebuild it from that.
All I'm saying is it's better to bottom out than to like be in the middle
than to just sit in mediocrity.
Yeah.
Or why doesn't everybody just do what the Cavs did? Just try to become better, fail at it, and then get a bunch of number one picks, and the best player in the league joins your team.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
I don't see what the big deal is. Hey, speaking of Samuel Dalembert, there he is on the Knicks. I bet he's doing great.
Samuel Dalembert's had a long career. That guy has a lot of.
He's had a long.
He's cashed a lot of checks.
He's had a long average career. He looks exactly the same now as the day he stepped on the court for the first time, too. He hasn't put on 1 pound, even though that's all anybody ever wanted him to do.
Hey, you'd think there'd be some like weightlifting coach that would get through to him at this.
No, just eat something.
Just eat something. Yeah.
You're rich. Just eat whatever you want.
Maybe he has a really fast metabolism. I saw some like BuzzFeed article like 37 reasons why stop telling me to eat when I'm skinny. I mean, I'm very envious of skinny people, but like I guess it's like people they legitimately can't put on weight. Like I guess it's a problem.
There are some people, yeah. That's not common.
Yes.
I think
they really got to eat something.
But those people too, they can be real skinny and still have like terrible cholesterol levels. And if you're really skinny and you can't put on weight, but you still go out and eat like McDonald's all the time, you're not healthy. Like your body doesn't process all that crap out where everyone else's body doesn't. It just burns the calories. It doesn't burn away all the chemicals and stuff that's in it.
Yeah. God, yeah, you just think about how food's processed nowadays and just like how like my body like is sustaining itself on like not real food at all, like just all chemicals and it's just, I don't know, it's just
eventually
scary.
It's going to be like the Matrix where they just give us that paste or that stuff that looks like snot.
Yeah.
Like, this is all the nutrients you need. Eat it. I want a candy bar.
Nope, paste.
Oh.
Joe, quick question.
Yes, John.
Dave loves himself some Taco Bell. So what are your thoughts on Taco Bell?
My thoughts on Taco Bell? My waistline's been going up pretty consistently these last 10-plus years, and a lot of that's come from Taco Bell. Well, the day I was introduced to Taco Bell, I don't even think I ever had Taco Bell when I was in high school. Then I started drinking. I started realizing what was open late. And the only thing that was open late was Taco Bell. And I said, wow, Taco Bell, this tastes pretty good when you're drunk. Then I tried.
That should be their slogan. That should be, Taco Bell should only be open from like 11 at night until like 5 in the morning.
No, but I feel like White Castle should be only be open those hours. But I feel like
White Castle shouldn't even be open.
Yeah, White Castle probably is a major health code violation. It should just be shut down everywhere.
White Castle is a cause of global warming. Because you eat it and you just fart constantly, and that's bad for the environment.
But I do think Taco Bell is pretty delicious. Like, I can't, like, sometimes I just have to.
No.
You're not a Taco Bell guy?
I hate Taco Bell.
Nothing at Taco Bell? Now you can't even get, like, a chicken quesadilla or something?
I could eat it.
Some, like,
and
melted
not,
cheese.
I could eat Taco Bell and not be like, oh my god, this is disgusting. But without fail, every time I eat Taco Bell, my stomach hurts. My body rejects it. It's like, no, this is bad. Why did you put this in me?
They've got new rolled chicken tacos. John's on the Taco Bell website.
And I also feel like whatever they say is in their food should be in quotes. Like, chicken.
I mean, they got the new Cantina Bell menu, which is supposed to be a lighter.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a poor man's Chipotle.
Yeah, I'll just go to Chipotle.
It's not nearly as good as Chipotle. It's just something to, like, throw in your gut. But it probably is a little bit better for you, but it's still not real food at all.
Right. Yeah, it's like the McRib. The McRib's back, everybody.
Yeah.
And the fun thing about the McRib is if you ever look up when the McRib comes out every year, it, you know, coincides with whenever pork hits its lowest price at market.
Yeah.
So they just buy all the cheap pork they could find, form it into.
Yeah,
the
I
shape
watched a little
ribs.
Documentary on making.
Oh, I saw that too.
Yeah, did you see that little video?
Yeah.
But it's not as, like, you know, it's not as bad as what I thought. I thought it would be like, I mean, have you ever seen how they make, like, chicken nuggets with the pink slop? Yeah, they literally just, like, put, like, some ammonia to, like, clear off bones of, like, I mean, there's, like, so many chemicals in this pink slop. I mean, the McRib is honestly not as bad as, like, some, like, Burger King McNuggets, like, in terms of, like, how grossly, disgustingly it's made.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but it's still not good. Like, it's terrible and
but the McRib,
awful.
I mean, I thought it would be, I thought there'd be, like, rats falling into the conveyor belt and
it's
stuff.
Like, you know, we grind up the pig snouts and hooves, and, I mean, technically it came from a pig, so it's pork. We had some imitation pork flavoring, and some lard, and there we go. We put it in this press.
Yeah. After watching the McRib documentary, I would still eat a McRib.
After watching the McRib documentary, that should be a blurb. Like they do for movies. It's just like, after watching this documentary, I still eat a McRib. So bad. There's always next year.
Oh my god, that's great. Dave, how about an AM crunch
wrap? Can we stop talking about Taco Bell
now? Look at the AM crunch
wrap. We need to talk about the Browns.
Segway King, baby.
Yeah. Eat some Taco Bell.
The Taco Bell breakfast is pretty good. I'm just going to throw that out there. Although I haven't had the waffle taco, I think that looks pretty terrible to me. I had like the crunch, AM crunch wrap. It was good. I mean, I don't know if it's McDonald's good, but it was good. All right, we can move on.
I feel like we didn't even really talk about the Cavs that much.
We did.
We should probably move on.
Dude, we hit the meaningful topics.
I guess so. Yeah. So, the Browns, much like the Cavs, highly inconsistent. Here's the silver lining, though. It's hard to find a team in football that hasn't been wildly inconsistent this year. So, the Browns have been on par with every other team in football. I mean, sure, most of their wins have come against really, really bad opponents. But they had those two games against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati where they looked like a football team. So, and both times they followed it up by just getting spanked. So I don't really know what to make of the Browns. Every time you get down on them, they go out and win, and then you go, hey, Browns are okay, and then they suck.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I mean, they just got manhandled, but yeah, something tells me that they're going to like come out and do okay against the Falcons.
Well, they cut Ben Tate this week.
Yeah, that was crazy. I couldn't believe that.
Well, he became, within the span of about 2 weeks, he just
he was complaining all the time.
He turned into a complete, like, team cancer where he was just, you know, negative energy all the time.
Yeah. It's a I wouldn't mind, like, a carry share. Like, it would prolong my career. Like, my body would hurt less every week.
Yeah, but his career is already running out, so he needs... And in his defense, when he signed here, they told him, you're going to be the number one guy. You're our workhorse.
You're my number one.
And then he gets here, and...
He looks so slow.
Well,
he had a really good game against the Titans, and then they started playing the other two guys.
Well, against the Titans, like I was like, okay, I see why this guy's the number one back. Like the way he like saw the field and cut, I was like, all right, well this guy's good. But like, yeah, when he doesn't get blocking, like ever since Alex Mack went down. Like, he's so slow, and he doesn't hit the hole as fast, and he always gets 4-yard losses and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think last week he had just stopped carrying.
Yeah. Well, he only got 2 carries.
He had 2 carries for -9 yards and a chop block.
Yeah.
That was all he accomplished.
Yeah.
But also, in his defense, and I can't imagine the other two running backs were thrilled with the situation either.
I mean,
it was like the
Crow probably was. That guy was like almost not in the NFL.
Yeah, I know, but the coaches, really for no rhyme or reason, would just decide, hey, guess what? You get the ball the most today.
Yeah.
You know, they gave West the ball, it was like, what, 24 or 26 times against Cincinnati? And he did okay. He didn't do great.
Yeah.
But none of the running backs did great. They got a bunch of yards, but that's because we ran the ball 50 times. And West got half of them. And then the next game, we come out, and Crowell's the starter. Hey, why?
Yeah, it's...
They watch his hype video.
I mean, Mike Pettine will say, oh, yeah, he had a nice week of practice.
Yeah,
but...
and 2 games prior to that, Crowell barely played.
He didn't even touch the field.
They just throw him out there. It's like they pick their names out of a hat to figure out the order.
Yeah, players in any sport, like, they're having, like, clearly defined roles and knowing what you're, you know, like a baseball, like a bullpen, the setup guy, the close... I mean, yeah, I agree that might be on the coaches. They probably should give guys more heads up, like, what their role is going to be.
And I wonder if that might be part of why the running game has struggled as much as it has, is because, you know, guys have different running styles. I don't know this for a fact. I've never played football, and I've definitely never played offensive line. So
you did, though.
I don't know if you block differently depending on who's in the game. I remember back when the Browns had when they had Charlie Fry and Derek Anderson, and you know, they couldn't block for Fry, and then Anderson came out and all of a sudden the line was blocking, and
because they knew where Derek Anderson was
going to
be.
We know where he's going to be. We block a pocket for him, mm-hmm. when the other guy's just running around, we don't know where he's going. You know, so I wonder if they block differently knowing which running back is in there.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
I think probably not, because it's the play design.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably
block,
just trying to hold...
I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably... I mean, I wasn't a football player myself, but I would think you would probably block pretty much the same, but...
But, it goes back to what you were saying. Players, just like everybody, in your everyday life, you like to know what your role is. Like, at your job, you don't want to go in and be like, what are they going to have me do today? You know?
Yeah.
You like to know what your role is within the organization that you're a part of.
Yeah. But I mean, the only thing I'll say in football, like I said, if my role was to chill on the bench, I'd be okay with that. Cause it's like a violent sport and I'm gonna like have brain damage if I like play. I don't know. It's like,
right, but
like,
you're not...
like at work, if they told me that my role was I'm gonna get paid and I don't have to do anything, like I'd be like, alright, sign me up for that.
Yeah, but if you were thinking like, well, what am I gonna do after this? And when I go to another job, what do I tell them I did?
Yeah. good point. Yeah.
So are you going to pay me to do nothing? No. Oh. I don't know if I'm qualified for this position. So, I mean, I'm right there with you, Joe. If my ideal, if I could be anyone in the NFL, it'd be like Peyton Manning's backup.
Yeah. We won't allow into the game.
Yeah. Like, just, hey, I'm going to sit here and hold a clipboard, and I'm going to get paid a bunch of money, and nobody's ever going to find out that I suck.
Just really, really quick, did you see the video when Peyton, like, they were killing him?
Yeah.
And that they, like, said he was coming in, he got his helmet on, he was smiling, and then Peyton just, like, get back!
No.
Like,
you're not stealing my job, Brock Osweiler.
And he just takes his helmet off and he just sat on the bench sad. I was like, oh man, Peyton. You're winning by like 40 points. Let the guy get in there.
Yeah, maybe he should have. Because then they go out and get
destroyed.
Beat up by the Rams.
Yeah.
So, is cutting Tate addition by subtraction?
Yeah.
Because I think, and this is something we talked about, we all agreed that having three running backs in the rotation was too many. You need two.
Yeah, three, and I think we had this discussion on the show. We liked the depth, but we thought they should pick two and go with them. Yeah.
And just wait for Ben Tate to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and then you move the other guy in.
Yeah.
It was going to happen. They just didn't give him the ball enough.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good thing as long as, you know, Tate and Crowell, or no, not
West.
West and Crowell don't get hurt. Then I mean, we're going to be back.
And Crowell stops fumbling.
Back into the Fozzie Whitakers of the world and whatnot. So.
Yeah, back to the trash heap. Maybe Willis McGahee will come out of retirement again.
How much is Dansby going to hurt us?
Yeah, I mean, Dansby, Sheard, and Wynn all went down on the defense last week. They were saying that Dansby was going to be out for a month. Now they're saying he might play on Sunday.
Really?
I find it very hard to believe that he plays on Sunday. If he does, it's almost... I feel like he might be hurting the team by trying to play because he's going to be limited by a knee sprain. Sheard hurt his foot. They figured he was going to be out for the year. He was going to need surgery. They found out he doesn't. So he's day-to-day. They don't know if he's going to play or not, but he's not definitely out for the year, so that's
that's
a good thing. Since our last show, Phil Taylor is out for the season. So
yeah,
he played two games this year.
I'm alarmed. I think our defensive line's getting a little thin. I mean,
and they weren't stopping the run to begin with.
Yeah.
And now we got thrown around last week. That was bad. Like,
yeah, something needs to change. But Atlanta's kind of soft running team. So at least we got a little.
The other thing that 92 just keeps talking about is Cribs,
he signed with the Colts.
But why would we want him?
Because he can catch punts with our Jordan Poyer and all these guys.
Jim Leonard can fair catch punts, but when he tries running, it's bad.
Yeah. We have. Our first round pick, the cornerback,
never throw him. They haven't had him out there once.
But he can do it.
It
successfully.
He doesn't even play that much.
Put him
so
back there.
They had Benjamin back at it last week. He made the one shoestring catch, and I'm like, ooh, that's a little dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, but you really want our number one? I mean, I guess he's not playing, and maybe it would get him. But you really want your number one pick, with the threat of getting his head taken off or turning punts?
Well, I mean,
if he's not doing anything, get him out there.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
It's happened before. I mean, it's not like this is unprecedented.
Yeah,
I mean, Bryant used to return punts.
Patrick Peterson doesn't he return for the Cardinals?
I'm not sure if he still. I think
he did
still
for
does.
A while.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're willing to put him back there, we can put Justin Gilbert.
I agree.
I mean, he was good at it. Let the guy do it.
But I mean, if he starts,
and it's never even been discussed.
If he starts dropping punts, then his confidence will go through the floor. I mean,
I can't do anything. I retire. No. Let's see. Oh, Josh Gordon's coming back. That's addition by addition.
That's
double addition.
And he's on your fantasy team. So.
And he's on my fantasy team, but I'm tentatively keeping him on my bench this week.
So were you one of those guys who just stockpiled him for the last seven weeks?
I stashed him week two.
Yeah, I stashed him in my other league.
Whoever drafted him in the league dropped him, so I picked him up off waivers.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll pick him up, because that was back when they weren't sure if he was going to get his suspension wiped out completely. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a steal. And then I picked him up, and they're like, he suspended 10 games. And I was like, eh, I guess I'll keep him. My receivers kind of stink. Then my receivers are actually kind of good now, so I'm considering leaving him on the bench. If I put him in, it's because Emmanuel Sanders won't play. Or I put him in for Kyle Orton.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what he'll do this week, Josh Gordon. I think he'll...
It's in Atlanta, so he should be able to...
Right, and people are projecting... Like, they think he's just going to come out and dominate.
I didn't think he was...
If he wasn't suspended at all this year, I didn't think he was going to come out and dominate, because there's no one really to take attention away from him on
Cameron
the offense.
Is Cameron playing this week?
I don't know, but he sucks.
Yeah, I mean...
I was never a big fan of his either. He had a good, like, first... 8 games last season, and then he disappeared once teams started covering him.
But, I mean, Josh Gordon had nobody to take attention away from him last year, and he was still asleep.
Right, but he got a lot of his yards in garbage time.
Yeah.
He had a lot of, like...
All garbage time, every time?
40-yard passes from Brandon Whedon when they're down by 3 touchdowns. He benefited a lot from the Browns getting blown out last year. There's only a couple plays I can remember that I remember thinking, wow, okay, so that was a legit, like, good play against a good player that's trying. Because how many times over the last 2 years would you see Josh Gordon, they just throw the ball down the field, and there's Josh Gordon standing there by himself. No one covering him.
Yeah.
Who knows why? I know he's not that good that he can get 10 yards open. I think it might be, part of it is probably because, and I mean, if you've watched him play, when he gets the ball in space and he starts running, you go, why doesn't he run hard? And he is.
Yeah.
He's really fast, but he doesn't look like he's trying hard to do it. He
kinda
takes
like
really
Randy
big,
Moss.
Yeah, he takes really big strides.
Yeah.
So that might throw off the corners. You know, they might be thinking, oh, he's taking this route off. Like, he's taking this play off because he's just jogging. But he's really running as fast as he can.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some other weapons. You put Gordon and Miles Austin on the outside and put Gabriel and Hawkins on the inside. That's a pretty good receiving core.
Well, I think having Gordon back helps the running game. Because now they do have to, you know, they've got to double. They're just going to double cover Gordon all the time.
Yeah.
And how many players are going to consistently beat a double team? Especially when you don't have a great quarterback throwing you the ball. So, I'm expecting like mid-level production out of Gordon this week. Especially because it's his first game back. He's going to be rusty. He's in shape, but he's not in football shape. And they're going to cover him as if he is. They're going to act like he's in mid-season form, even though he's not. You know, they're not going to go, don't worry about Josh Gordon. Let's really focus on Taylor Gabriel and Miles Austin. Cover Miles Austin really hard. He might hand the ball to you. But I think Gordon helps the offense as a whole because it's going to force teams to not be able to stack the box as much. And then that's going to make the play action more effective, and hopefully he'll, you know, break a couple free from that. But until I see it, I don't think Josh Gordon's bad. I don't want to come off as saying he's not any good. I just think it's going to take some time for him to get back into football shape. So to expect him to go out there and dominate this week, I think is setting your expectations a little too high.
Do you want Tim's thoughts on this?
I agree.
What are Tim's thoughts?
Gordon's going to tear up.
300 yards and 5 touchdowns.
<Go Browns>. Oh, man.
So, you think the Browns are going to win this week, Joe?
I think they're going to, like, win fairly easily, or they're going to, like, get blown out. I don't see like a close game for some reason.
And I meant to bring this up. I apologize for staying on Brown's topic, but changing the topic a little bit. Brian Hoyer. Okay. After the Pittsburgh game, hey, we need to sign Hoyer forever. He's the best quarterback we've ever had. Then we lose to Jacksonville. Hoyer sucks. Play Manziel. And then we kind of plod through a couple wins, and people are going, whatever, the whole team sucks. And then we beat Cincinnati. Hey, the team's good again. Hoyer rules. And we lose to Houston. Hoyer sucks. Play Manziel.
This is the casual fan who always calls on the radio and only ever talks about the quarterback position.
Right. But is it like this in every city? Like, okay, Detroit. Detroit is, what, 7-3 or whatever? And they played Arizona last week, and they lost to Arizona 14-6. Was there people in Detroit calling into their sports talk shows going, we only scored 6 points. Matt Stafford's terrible.
Yeah.
Bench him. Put in whoever our backup is that sucks.
Well, I mean, some of it has to be who our backup is. I mean, but yeah, Cleveland really does seem like a
it's
city.
It's just a series of overcorrections. Brian Hoyer is not great. Brian Hoyer is not terrible. Brian Hoyer is average to above average. That's where he fluctuates to.
Yeah.
He fluctuates from above average to below average. To act like he's anything but that on either extreme is kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who watched the preseason, I mean, to think that it's going to get so much better with Johnny and he's just going to like look like Texas A&M Johnny. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, you got stability in there. I mean, you could put Johnny in there. I mean, I'm fairly willing to bet that if you put Johnny in there, it would be worse.
Yeah, if Manziel started from game one,
yeah.
And let's assume that he's stayed healthy this long, which I don't believe would happen, would the Browns be 6-4 right now?
No way.
You
didn't know the playbook.
I don't think so. I think
I don't think so either. So why are people clamoring for him and saying, we need to find out what we have in this kid? First off, you don't find out what you have in a guy his rookie year.
When you're in a playoff race.
Well, regardless, if you found out, if you played a guy as a rookie and that was indicative of what his entire career arc was going to be, how many guys would have just washed out of the league after 1 year? I mean, it takes time, and especially with quarterbacks.
Like
Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson, like, those guys were the exception.
Yeah.
They weren't the rule.
Yeah.
For a long time, it was
well,
let
Russell
the guys
Wilson
develop.
Also played, like, four years in college. Actually went to college for 5 years, and Andrew Luck, I mean, he had... You know, three style. I mean,
right. And he played in a pro style offense,
yeah.
And Manziel did not.
Exactly.
But yeah, and like you said, Joe, we're in a playoff race. You don't throw your unproven, you know, wild card of a backup quarterback out there and go, "Hey, kid, take us to the playoffs." You got to 6-4 with Hoyer. Stick with him.
Yeah.
Now, if all of a sudden we're sitting there at 6-8, you know, in a couple games, yeah, fine. Throw Manziel out there for the last two games. I don't care. We're out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I wish there wasn't so much, like, I mean, Mike Pettine's, like, afraid of, like, the controversy or the city. You know, I mean, when our offense is sputtering, I really do think, like, a Johnny trick play, I think we had a couple of those, that would be, like, a good thing.
Right, and they did it for, like, that one or two games. They threw him out there for a couple plays, and then we haven't seen it.
But I think they stopped it because they knew, like, Brian Hoyer doesn't like it. If Johnny Manziel makes a big play, the whole city's going to say, play Johnny just because he scored a touchdown on a trick play.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, I think they just avoid it because of that. But I honestly think it could help the team if they just did it, like, on rare occasion.
Oh, I completely agree, but I think for, you know, continuity, you don't do it, which is odd, because we were just talking about how they refuse to have any with the running backs, but then when it comes to the quarterbacks, they're like, whoa, you know what, this is where we draw the line. We're not putting him out there at all, and you can look around and say, well, what team does that? No team throws their backup quarterback out there for a play or two. But they don't have guys like Manziel. I mean, I admittedly am not a huge fan of his. But like you were saying, especially when the offense is sputtering, and if Hoyer doesn't have it that day. He seems to be one of those guys that he either, like, he's either on that day or he's not. And if he's not, he's not going to get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the Niners, when they had Alex Smith, I remember them, they would, like, throw Kaepernick in there in, like, some trick plays, and it, like, it helped the squad, and they looked pretty good. And then they got rid of Alex Smith, and they got the real Colin Kaepernick, and it was like, oh, yeah, he's not as good when you get him on every play.
He just throws the ball really hard.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you could get some of that with Johnny. I mean, if you catch him off guard, I mean, he can make a dynamic play, and then if he's your quarterback, you're like, oh, God, this is, like, a bad Jeff Garcia.
Well, and it keeps the defense on its heels a little bit. You know, run them out there for one play, and if it's successful, they're sitting there going, "Man, when are they going to do that again?"
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, I think, unfortunately, you know, we might have lost a game or two this season because of the coaching. You know, people seem to like Mike Pettine quite a bit. I haven't seen a whole lot of evidence where it was like, oh boy, we really outcoached that team. It more seems like we have our game plan, and if it doesn't work, we continue with that game plan.
Yeah.
And it's failing.
I mean, our game plan is run the ball, like, commit to run the ball and don't turn the ball over. And pretty much the Texans beat us at our own game last week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we went in there, and I guess because everyone else assumed this too. I mean, everybody thought Ryan Mallett was going to be terrible. You know, I remember
myself included
when the Texans were on bye and they announced that Ryan Mallett was going to start coming out of the bye. This was on a national site. I don't remember what website exactly it was, but the headline was something along the lines of, Ryan Mallett won't have to wait much longer to prove that he can't play in the NFL.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's kind of brutal. I didn't think, what evidence do we have that this guy sucks? But apparently he does, because everybody's saying it, and then he didn't.
It kind of became an underdog story, just like Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, with a much better arm.
Brian Hoyer proclaimed it the best arm he's ever seen.
Yeah, and I didn't see it. He said, yeah, and everybody was saying, oh, he's got the strongest arm ever. I didn't really see that.
Good arm, but I didn't see that.
He threw some long passes when he was off balance. It was almost like, boy, if he had good mechanics, I bet he could really make some nice throws.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should have traded for Mallett. Like everybody said we were going to. Mallett or Kirk Cousins. Or Colt McCoy.
Or Rex Grossman.
Right. As of right now, Rex Grossman, we signed. We didn't even have to trade him. I think he should be out there right now. He should be our starter. I would play him over Johnny. What do you put the Browns' odds of making the playoffs at right now?
I would put them at...
Like at a percentage.
25%.
25%. That's much less optimistic than I thought you were going to be, because that's right around where I was going to put it. Like 20 to 25%.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I thought you were going to go like 40 or 50.
Maybe like a week ago it would have been, but that last loss was demoralizing. The Texans owned us.
Yeah, but I didn't understand why people thought they were going to be a pushover.
I mean,
good defense. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's not very good, but so really, how much worse could Ryan Mallett be? Well, as soon as I heard, you know, I was going to, in our picks last week, I was going to pick Houston, and then I heard Arian Foster wasn't going to play, and I went, I think the Browns are going to win this game, because Arian Foster would have run for probably 250 yards against the Browns, but he didn't play, so I thought, okay, Ryan Mallett apparently is terrible. And Arian Foster isn't going to play. How could the Browns lose? How much could J.J. Watt possibly do?
They show him in every...
Yeah, it was like, hey, the Texans just threw a touchdown.
Let's get his reaction.
Let's check J.J. Watt on the sidelines. He had nothing to do with this.
He's pretty happy.
And I think he took him... Because he was... playing pretty dominant in the first half, and then when he got that second roughing the punter penalty, and he started jawing with the fans, and they were going, oh man, he's really fuming over there. I feel bad for whoever has to block him. He really didn't do much after that. I think he took himself out of the game because he got out of it. Like, if you get pissed off and you start trying really, really hard, you aren't playing your normal game, and a lot of times that screws you up.
Yeah.
And they were acting like, oh, now he's pissed. He's just going to be unstoppable. He's going to throw Mitchell Schwartz at Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
So, John, odds of the Browns making the playoffs.
I'm looking at it right now.
You're looking at the Ravens.
I know. I'm looking at like who they're playing. I just went through.
Oh, you're looking at all the teams that the Browns are contending with?
Yeah. So,
the Ravens have a pretty decent schedule coming up.
I see us going 9-7. So, everybody else I see being better than us, so I don't think we'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, 9-7 I would say is an outside shot at making it. You need a lot of help at that point. 10-6, hopefully with tiebreakers you make it. I'm not sure that the Browns win more than 8.
I think we have a chance to get 9.
They definitely have a chance to get 9. They have a chance to get 10. If the team that played Cincinnati shows up, they can get to 10 wins. If the team that played Houston shows up, they're going to have 6 wins. So, let's make our picks for the week.
Oh, you.
We got to make our picks. Oh, and here's the updated standings.
Oh, boy.
We haven't updated them for the last 2 weeks.
I think I'm going to laugh.
Well, hey, you're close. John has gone 7-1 the last 2 weeks.
Good job, John.
And he's moved himself into a commanding lead at 27-13. And 27-13 is really, really good.
That's really, really
picking
good.
Against the spread.
That, yeah.
If you were betting those games, you would have won a lot of money. Unfortunately, we're not.
Again, I would like to point out, overall, stink.
Yeah.
4 games a week. Good.
You're only good at the games I decide to pick. Gerg has fallen behind. He was keeping pace with John. I think he only has 3 wins over the last 2 weeks, so he's at 22-18. So John has a 5-game lead. I don't know if it can be overcome.
Wow. Even Gerg, that's still pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean,
22-18
really
is still good. Then we get to David. I'm in 3rd place.
Oh, God.
At 19-21.
Oh, God.
And Joe is in 4th place at 18-22. So we've got a nice little battle going, oh. Joe.
All right,
we might have to make a side bet on this for who's going to come in 3rd.
All right, I'm focusing on.
Although Gerg was playing way over his head. I'm just going to say that right now. He's not here again this week. He had no business being in 1st place ever, so we could catch him.
Although, yeah, even us, that's not terrible. We're pretty close to 500.
Yeah, we're right around 500. You know, 60% is what they say is like the cutoff for making money off of it. So, I mean, John's way over that.
Dude, with the games you pick, I should get on like the radio like those dudes. Like,
yeah. I got locks.
John's locks.
Do they have anything like that on FanDuel? It's like you challenge somebody to pick 4 games against you.
I need to pick these 4 though, please.
Yeah.
I'm sure that can be John, you should start a gambling site that has that.
Yeah, let's start a website where you pick 4 games a week up against John.
Dave's 4 picks picked by John.
Dave picks the games, John picks the winners. All right, so let's get started off this week, as we always do, picking the Browns. Browns at Atlanta. Atlanta -3.5. So the Browns are getting 3.5 points on the road to a team with what, 4 wins?
I'd like to see my percentage here of picking the Browns, because I feel like
it's whatever the Browns are against the spread is what Joe is against the spread. It's what everybody is except me. Yeah, I'm the only one who hasn't picked the Browns every week.
I think I've picked the Browns every single week.
And it was a really good, they started the year 5-0 against the spread.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Jacksonville.
Well, I'm going to continue my trend and pick the Browns.
So Joe goes Cleveland. John.
I always go Cleveland. I can't go against them because I want them to win so bad.
I didn't get the picks to Gergen time, so we don't have his picks for the show. He will make them, though. I want to pick the Browns because they were so bad last week.
Because they're moving. That's why it's off.
Yeah.
The Buffalo, New Jersey.
Yeah, the Buffalo Jets game is off the board because they moved it.
Yeah, okay.
I want to pick the Browns. I really do, because the Browns kind of have that, you know, we stink, then we're not bad anymore kind of vibe going on this year. But I've said all along, before the season even started, you know, Atlanta is tough at home, regardless of their record. They're tough at home. If the Browns were at full strength in terms of defense, that would make a big difference because, Atlanta's offensive line is terrible. But if you don't have anybody playing, who cares? if you've got your third-string lineman out there, hopefully someone else's starting offensive line can block them. I think, you know, whoever Joe Hayden isn't matched up against is a prime target for Matt Ryan. You know, their passing game is still good. They just, for whatever reason, don't really utilize it as much as they should. But I'm going to go with the Browns. If the spread was less than 3, I would pick Atlanta. I think the Browns can, if they lose, it'll be by about a field goal. So I'm going Browns. I just reasoned that whole pick out right now because I was ready to pick Atlanta. And then I started talking about how bad they are. Talked myself out of it.
I thought you were going to pick Atlanta, but then you picked the Browns.
I want to, but I reserve the right to change it.
After the
All right, game two. Yeah. Hey, I'm the one who keeps... let me say, I'm the one who keeps track of all this stuff, and I'm in third place, so I'm obviously not cheating. Like, oh, Dave goes 4-0 again! This is amazing!
Just wait till the end of the season when it's crunch time, and you gotta come back and get me. Like, it's like, oh, Dave won 12 in a row? That's amazing!
No,
go
it's
Dave.
Gonna be the same as when on our other podcast we had our football pick'em the 1 year, and, you know, Joe and I are going to make our side bet, and we're going to tie. And I'm going to go, well, you didn't know the tiebreaker rule was if your name's Dave, you win. I pulled that. I tied for first place in our pick'em pool. And I was like, unfortunately, the tiebreaker is if you're me, you win. So I won.
That was versus Dan, right?
No, that was against one of Gerg's friends.
Oh, okay.
Game two, Arizona at Seattle. -7.
Yeah, this game looks suspicious to me because the Cardinals are the hot team in the NFL right now.
Right.
Everybody, you know, they have a great record. But Seattle's at home, and they're still the world champions.
And you keep waiting for them to wake up.
And you keep waiting for them to wake up. So I feel like people are just putting that on the board for people to say, oh, Arizona's 9-2 or whatever they are. Well, why in the world would we not pick Arizona in this game? And I think
Seattle just lost to Kansas City.
Yeah, and I think Seattle's going to just roll on Sunday. So give me the Seahawks.
Joe's got Seattle. John?
I actually just changed it as I was looking at the 6.5. So I think it's going to be a close game, so I'm going Arizona because I think they'll cover the spread.
Arizona for John.
And, you know, Larry Fitzgerald.
He's got the same thing as Dansby, but he claims he's playing through it.
He's going to.
But he's not going to be any good.
No. He's going to do great.
How good is a receiver with a sprained knee?
Larry Fitzgerald hasn't been any good in like 4 years anyway.
That's not true.
Don't say that.
Don't be in our fantasy league, Joe.
Hold on.
He had a couple good games.
Yeah, he's been playing better recently.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone.
You can talk, Dave. I'm looking up his stats.
I'm going to go. I have the same line of thinking as Joe that, you know, Seattle's got to wake up eventually. They're playing at home. This is their game that they could really make a statement. It's a division game. Arizona's on their backup quarterback. You know, eventually that has to catch up with them. You know, he's not good. So their defense is good, but I don't think they're going to score really any points. So I'm going Seattle. This is great, Joe. Let's just pick all the same teams, and then neither one of us will make a move.
I think that's the reason why we have our picks are. I think we think alike, and we end up picking the same teams.
No, last week the only team we had, or we had the Browns and New England the same. Oh, okay. The other two games different.
And that's the recipe for a dull show, because that's not what like Callie and Booms do. You got to take opposing viewpoints for
Callie and Booms
for ratings.
Sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, game three. The last two Browns opponents, Cincinnati at Houston, Houston minus -2.
Yeah. Well, Houston killed us, but I think the Bengals are starting to get healthy. And
They
played really good in the Dome against the Saints, and I think the Bengals are a good team. I think the cream will rise to the top, and not that the Texans are a bad team, but I'm taking the Bengals. I think home field's overrated in the NFL unless it's a dome.
Houston does play in a dome.
Yeah, but I feel like Houston. But I feel like Houston's not like they're not like the Saints. They're like the Falcons.
Yeah, based on just burners.
Yeah, they're not like the Rams with like Isaac Bruce and
turf.
Yeah, you know, Torrey Holt.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
John.
I'm going to go Cincinnati. I think they're going to win the game, so.
I'm going Houston.
Woo!
I think Houston's defense is good enough to disrupt Andy Dalton, and he doesn't play well when flustered.
But it's not a primetime game.
I know, but it's not like he's great all the time when he's not playing in primetime. He's just always bad in primetime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Houston's defense is good enough to disrupt him.
He has problems under the lights.
He sure does.
It's because he's got fair skin and fair hair.
maybe the Texans will just, like, you know how they say you can, if you have a bird and you put, like, a sheet over the bird cage, they think it's nighttime and they go to sleep. They'll just cover up all the windows at their stadium and be like, how did this happen? It's nighttime, Andy. We're on NBC.
Like, oh, no.
What? Nobody told me. How late did I sleep?
Oh, man.
Fourth game of the week, we go to... We stay in the Browns division. Baltimore at New Orleans. New Orleans minus -3.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for the Saints, but no.
Again, two inconsistent teams.
Everybody in the NFL is so inconsistent this year. But I think it's, you know, Drew Brees' last stand. I think he's gonna step up, and he's gonna have some pride, and I'm taking the Saints.
All right, John.
I'm going to go Baltimore. Steve Smith killed me last week. I have him on my bench this week, so that normally means
he's going to just blow up.
So going with the way my fantasy team rolls, I'm saying Baltimore is going to win because Steve Smith is going to just own.
I picked New Orleans to go to the Super Bowl before the season started. They're not going to the Super Bowl, but I'm picking them anyway. Because I still think they're good. And I feel the need to validate my Super Bowl prediction. So, Joe, we only have one game different.
Yeah.
So, at best, we're going to end up tied after this week, or I'll be up by 2. John picked 3 of the 4 games different than us. That's why John's winning.
John, can I just like copy your pitch so I can beat Dave? I pick whatever John chooses.
I've thought about doing that. I've thought about just copying John's picks. Like, oh, hey, what a coincidence. Those are the same people I picked.
Can we just, like, put the games on that dartboard and whichever one I hit is my pick?
Yeah, I picked identical to Gerg last week. That's what I knew I picked the same as somebody, and it was Gerg. And we went 1-3.
Yeah.
So, that was bad. All right. So, that about does it for this episode, I would say. Yeah. Oakland and Kansas City are playing right now, and I need Kansas City to win in a romp. Because I got Jamal Charles and Travis.
Oakland's up 7-0.
Yeah, I know. Great. Okay. So that does it, like I said, for this episode of There's Always Next Year. Facebook.com/TANextYear. At TANY Podcast on Twitter. Robocop. Robocop theme.
Hey, Goo.
Maybe we should just play that as our theme song.
Have fun in Chicago, Goo.
Bro, did you guys see the new RoboCop? I know we're wrapping up the show.
No, I didn't.
Have you? No, I didn't
see it. It's got Michael Keaton in it, so I wanted to.
But I might go back and rewatch the old RoboCops. The second one was kind of weird. It was like the villain was like that kid.
I've only seen the first one.
Oh, okay.
I've only seen the first RoboCop.
Yeah.
Because I always heard that the other ones were bad, so I just didn't watch them.
It's bad, but it's like interesting. It's worth a watch.
Is it good bad?
It's like
I love good bad
movies. It's good bad. It's good bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you gotta go watch RoboCop,
like,
too.
Starship Troopers.
Did that one have the jetpack?
I thought that was 3. I remember playing...
I've watched all of them, I just don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that one was 3.
The jet boots or whatever. I remember playing the Nintendo game.
Yeah. I feel like I gotta go back and rewatch all of them, but yeah, no, 2, it's good bad. It's like almost all 80s movies, it's good bad.
Yeah, we're gonna have to veer off topic for a show and, you know, for a segment and talk about good, bad movies. So we need to talk about good, bad movies. We need to talk about sports video games. We're just going to have one show where we don't actually talk about
any current sports. Have we done the sports movies topic? Like
no,
our favorite
we
sports
haven't done
movies?
Sports movie.
Well, we talked a little bit about Space Jam, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Like, we should just do a show where we talk about everything that isn't current sports. You know,
I would
like hey, guess what? We're not talking about the Browns, Cavs, or Indians today. Here's what's on the agenda.
That sounds good. I find myself often longing for.
You're gonna need to give me a week,
right?
To prep that one,
Joe. Let me ask you this: when you went to the Cavs game, because they've only showed the introductions for the visitors on TV for the first game,
yeah.
And they played the old NWO theme when they introduced the Knicks. Do they still play that?
Yeah, they play.
That is nonsense. Why would you play that? NWO, first off, was cool. Second, always won. Why would you play that for your opponent?
It was perplexing to come think of that. Yeah, they did do that, and that makes no sense.
And one more little tidbit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was watching a game last night, and they're playing the Spurs, whatever. The Spurs are defending champions. I feel like there should be more of an advantage to being defending champions. Like, you should get more perks out of it. You know, every arena you go to, you get to pick your entrance music. Because you're the champion. So you get to do whatever you want. You have the option of playing in a crown. If you want to wear a crown when you're playing, it becomes part of your uniform. But only for the champions. They should have, like, little... that don't affect the game at all.
Yeah.
But just, like, little... perks for being the champion.
That'd be cool,
of each sport.
But that'd be, I mean, you really Tim Duncan like wearing a little Burger King crown and.
Well, I'm saying he doesn't have to.
Oh, okay.
He can.
I mean,
or they get like special uniforms or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I agree. You should get something for being the champ.
There's nothing. You get a ring and a banner the first night of the season, and it's like, hey, tough luck. That was last season. Do it again.
Yeah.
You really don't get anything.
I mean, you have to, like,
it.
Go to the White House, so I guess.
That's
yeah.
Deal.
Yeah, they should probably, like,
they should all
they should
year.
Do something that reminds people, like, yeah,
yeah.
Who.
As defending champs, they should have some kind of year long thing
sport.
That they get to do.
Like,
yeah.
Literally, like, baseball the next year, like, I don't even remember who won it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'll forget the Giants won it, like, in, like, 4 months.
Yeah, but you'll. If you get to see them wearing a crown
yeah,
every
exactly.
game.
Or, like, golden. gold-plated
uniforms. Gold uniforms.
A gold robe.
They come out with a cape.
The coach has a cape and a scepter.
Like gold member.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I think we need to write to all the professional sports leagues, and like arena football will take it up.
Dude, I'll do the drawings. It'll be little stick figure guys with a scepter and a robe.
Yeah, if nothing else, they should just, you know, get to wear jerseys that say champion on it.
Yeah. Maybe
like in basketball. They should get a shirt that says champion, and then the team that they're playing has to wear a shirt that says loser.
Yeah, they could like implement some of these things slowly. Like gradually institute it in. I feel like you can't go full-fledged all at once where, like, teams are wearing, like, capes and crowns. And I feel like you gotta, like, get people used to that whole idea first.
And it's like, you force the, like, you know, so, like, the Spurs were in town last week, and the crowd has to cheer for them when they get introduced, or the Cavs get penalized points. they start the game at like minus 10. So like LeBron's standing out there like, clap, you asshole!
I like it. I like where your mind's at.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm just going to turn...
You've had a lot of good ideas, like the whole soccer idea with the draft lottery. You should be working for some professional sports league, just like getting zany ideas like this.
Yeah, my goal is to turn all sports into pro wrestling. Like, I want guys in face paint in every sport.
That'd be awesome if like LeBron before the game just like got in the mic and started like pointing at Tim Duncan and talking trash.
Yeah, they're just cutting promos on everybody.
You know something, brother? They had Hulkster there yesterday.
The owners are like the Vince McMahon role.
You're fired!
You win this game or I'm going to cut every single one of you. But then somehow they lose and it still doesn't happen.
No, they would lose and then it'd be like the Macho Man coming back as the Macho King.
Yeah, they all come back in masks. Who are these guys? All right, we've gone.
I've had a great time.
Yeah, this was a good show, but we've gone pretty long, and nobody will listen to a show this long.
Let's be honest, they'll probably cut us off at about the 42-minute
mark. Yeah, but they really should get to this point.
I mean,
you need to put that in the
stay till the end.
Yeah,
stay after the credits because I gave like the Twitter and the Facebook out and said we were done.
And then we had this
bonus time.
Once we start talking about the Bengals at the Texans, I mean, we're going to lose. I mean, there's no way people are going to stay through that.
Oh, boy. In-depth analysis of Cincinnati-Houston.
Yeah,
this is what I signed up for. They're giving more analysis to that game than they did the Browns. All right. Thanks for listening if you made it this far, everybody.
I hope you did.
Me too. Again, subscribe on iTunes. You could leave a review. You could tell other people to listen. That'd be fun. So thanks for listening, and we will see you in a couple weeks. I'm guessing. That's what we usually do. All right. Bye.
Bye.